All right. Hi, everybody. Not sure if you saw the news, but there's stuff to talk about suddenly today. So this is our CFB Talk 41. My name is Bob Akairi. I'm going to be joined by my co-host JD and a little later Sirius. We saw that tweet. Everyone's seen the news, or maybe you haven't, and we're the first ones telling you. But the rumor is, and strong rumors reported by Wilner at the Mercury, and who's he covers John Wilner covers the Pac-12 religiously. He's always the source for probably the most insightful and sometimes most scandalous information about the Pac-12, especially under those years under Larry Scott. Here, let me just go ahead and add JD. So he reported that USC and UCLA are in talks to potentially join the Big Ten. Now he absolutely asserts and points out that this isn't finalized in any way. None of this has been confirmed. I mean, none of this has been finalized in the sense that it's going to happen, but he has been corroborated. There have been those who have confirmed that this is potentially happening, and we thought it would be a great opportunity to hear from you. We want to hear from you. JD, tell me what your thoughts are so far. And again, if you want to chat on this, please hit request and we will try and get to as many people as we can.
Yes, absolutely. So first and foremost, we have new additional corroboration now. Nicole Auerbach with the Athletic has now announced that a vote may be coming even as soon as today. Ross Dellinger with Sports Illustrated reporting the same as well. So this isn't looking like it's a possibility. It looks like it is going to happen. The Big Ten, per Nicole Auerbacher, the deal is basically done. There might be an announcement as soon as today. In terms of USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. And my goodness, does this absolutely change the face of college athletics as we know it? Absolutely mind-boggling move in terms of impact and scope and how this sport is going to change with this newest round of conference realignment.
Yeah, I just saw Pete Thamel, who is of course now at ESPN. He said that he spoke to a few sources who called USC and UCLA's move to the Big Ten a formality, with the press conference expected in the next 24 hours, potentially as soon as tonight. It's essentially done, is the way he's phrasing it. But we want to hear from you, so we're going to go ahead and start letting on callers. So let's see. JP, I'm going to send you an invite. We look forward to hearing from you. By the way, the other question here is also going to be, if this happens, the Pac-12, now back to the Pac-10, is going to have to really sit down and figure out who they would even begin to replace their two biggest cash cow teams. Because Oregon's a major program. I know that Washington's a major program, but the two LA schools, I mean, it's shocking. I mean, I'm sure Stanford and Cal are like, but we think we're smarter. And to an extent, the rankings tend to pan that out. But USC and UCLA are just that perfect sweet spot of good academics and good athletics in the second biggest metropolitan market in the country. But sorry about that. So we'd love to hear from, oh, JP, oh, looks like we dropped you in there for a second here. We're going to send you that speaker again. Sometimes Twitter acts a little weird, but yeah, we can hear you.
All right, yeah, just one question. I was just thinking, when you're thinking like Utah, Oregon, things like that, they have to be scrambling a little bit to find maybe a new home, or the Pac-12 scrambling to bring teams in. But do you see, conferences like the Big 12 was already added, some G5 going and grabbing, maybe bringing back Colorado, bringing in Utah, things like that to try to counter this? Or do you think like Oregon and them are now going to try to talk to maybe the SEC or the Big 10 to join along rather than trying to stay? And maybe get off course before this thing kind of falls off a cliff.
Oh, that's a great question. And I think you're absolutely right. I think it would be foolish to not think the Big Ten, probably the Big 12, isn't going to be starting to see, taking a good hard look at what's poachable in the Pac-12. Because right now the Pac-12 looks weak. This is the chance to pounce on them. And yeah, Colorado, I'm sure there are days Colorado wonders why they moved. I'm sure. I mean, again, I know I've said this before, at least I joked, I threw out the joke tweet we did about the fact that this is all Larry Scott's doing in a lot of ways. I hope business schools, because yeah, they've had a new commissioner for a year, but this isn't his fault. This is all Larry Scott driving what should have been one of the P5's best conferences just, into the ground through a series of bad thoughts. I think the Pac-12 network was by far the biggest fiasco of all of that, and the decision not to pair up with ESPN or Fox or one of those. But yeah, so Colorado, I think Colorado the back to the Big 12. I think that I wouldn't be shocked if the Big 12 makes a go at them. Maybe with Utah because they're so close to each other. Maybe an Arizona school. I mean, all of those schools. I mean, because – and help me here, JD. The Border Conference historically, wasn't that basically like the some of the Texas teams and the Arizona teams? Am I wrong there or –
No, you are correct. So the Border Conference, that used to be, you know, your Arizona, Arizona State, New Mexico, Texas Tech, mostly on the west side of Texas. But I think absolutely this is going to be absolute chaos. This is the Big 12 and the Pac-12 now jockeying against each other to figure out who's going to get the leftover scraps. I think the immediate play right now, if you're the Pac-12 and you've got this news coming, I guarantee you Kirby Hokut with Texas Tech has already picked up the phone with the Pac-12 commissioner. I guarantee Oklahoma State has already picked up the phone and started to talk to them as well, because we saw earlier that was going to be a possible move way back in 2010 when they had the Oklahoma and Texas rumors to the Pac-10 at the time. I think that's still very much a possibility. I know from a couple of inside sources that TCU has desperately wanted to be in the Pac-12 conference and align themselves with the West Coast. I very much imagine that the people over at TCU are now putting calls in over to the West Coast, but I think what we're also going to see now is the Big 12, I think their biggest issue right now and what they have to really do for locking down stability is I'm pretty confident that the ACC is not going to sit around and just let the Big 10 and let the SEC dictate who gets to be next up in the conference. I would imagine the ACC is looking at a West Virginia, they're looking at a Cincinnati, they're looking at a Kansas, Iowa State could possibly somewhere be out there. I imagine that this is not just an issue of people migrating possibly to the West Coast, but the ACC is going to be an unspoken power in all of this. And I cannot imagine after seeing all these moves, the ACC is just going to go, yep, we're good with our current setup as of right now, and we're not going to do anything else.
Do we think it's going to end up being a P4? Is that what we're aiming for? I know there's the talk of it's going to be the Big Ten and SEC versus everybody, but I'm wondering if that's what it's starting to look like. One of the P5s is going to have to take one for the team. I mean, it always felt that way, gosh, what seems like ages ago. And we've talked about this over the months of this show, but one of my favorite historical quotes is when the Pac-12 basically made – the Pac-10 made a quiet attempt to – pull both Texas and Oklahoma, and Oklahoma was interested, but Texas just was at that point still too tied into their network and the fact that the Big 12 was willing to work with them on it. And now you just see this and it's like, I don't know if the Pac-12 is the one that's going to get completely, you know, it's going to be interesting. We're going to see some really interesting opportunities for leadership here. I actually heard interviews with, the new the incoming Big 12 commissioner. He seems quite exciting. So I think he's going to be dynamic, but I don't think he would want to walk in just as this is truly that meme from Community where you walk into a room that's on fire. This is just if you're the new commissioner of the Big 12, this is literally running into a flaming building right now and trying to put it out while also torching your neighbor's building to make sure yours survives and theirs burns down, because this is old school Genghis Khan. It isn't enough that I succeed. Others must fail. But we've got a lot of people who want to talk. Hey, we're going to go ahead and move over to Matt T as well. And JP, if you want to chat or stay on, that's fine. We just, so many people want to talk. Matt, what's up?
Oh, go ahead and mute yourself on that bottom left button.
You're muted for you're unmuted and then you're muted. Oh,
sorry about that. I just wanted to compare, like, you know, the two super conferences we got now, the SEC and the Big Ten. And you look at the Big Ten and there's still quite a few schools that are gonna have a really, really tough time drawing those kids from California, from Florida, from the Southeast. Just because, I mean, I'm from Illinois, so I'll pick on them, but, like, you know, they don't have the Chicago ties like Northwestern does. What big-time athlete wants to go to Champaign? Who wants to go to Purdue, Bloomington? Like, I still think there's a little – the Big Ten's got a little problem. Are those schools safe, or do they get dropped in the long run,
I think they're going to stay for a couple of reasons, only because historically the Big Ten – and here's the thing. USC-UCLA makes so much sense for the Big Ten because the Big Ten still has a bit of an obsession with finding large academic institutions, mostly public, but even their private schools like Northwestern and USC are enormous, because people maybe not realize USC's got almost 50,000 students and an $8 billion endowment. It would suddenly just jump into the middle of that and be competitive. And UCLA, being a gigantic public institution, is the same. And they're all members of the AAU. And I know Nebraska was when they joined, and it's a long story why they had a drop, but it wasn't really entirely Nebraska's fault. But so I think to that extent, they're safe as members. Now, in terms of being competitive, certainly being able to play those West Coast games, depending on how they decide to break up the conference and divide up who gets to play in Los Angeles, certainly that would make them more attractive. That's always been a thing, you know, and how it works in practice is a whole other ballgame. Now, if we're talking Illinois, obviously you've got a coach with a personality who might be able to go there and say, like, look, play here. We send guys to the NFL. You might be able – you'll get a chance to play in front of your friends and family in the West Coast occasionally. I mean, it's certainly potential. By the way, JD, now I'm thinking the Rose Bowl pairing. Like, if what's left of the Pac-12 has to be strong to keep that up.
Stanford USC Rose Bowl. Stanford USC Rose Bowl. Oh, I mean, that's what we're looking at right now, and I can't wait for that.
Oh my goodness! Like, I've been at all the times we've lost to Stanford in games, and that would just be the perfect way to lose a Rose Bowl. Oh my goodness!
I'm just looking at like all the ramifications that's just going to happen with USC and UCLA moving up into the Big Ten. Like, I'm just thinking, even like baseball. Like USC has been long known as a baseball power. They have so many national championships. UCLA has won a couple in the 2010s in terms of national championships. And now they're going to be playing against schools that don't even have the opportunity to really play home games until April. I mean, this is just absolutely mind-blowing. And on top of that, other breaking news that's not in college football, but, you know, just in case there wasn't enough news in the world, Watch has announced that Kevin Durant has demanded a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. So in case there wasn't enough news already in the sports world today, everything just continues to be breaking news all over the place. Let's get another caller up here real fast. DeColdest, I know that you just came on here. Why don't you go ahead and unmute yourself? Tell us what's on your mind.
This is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Today has been great. I love everything about this. Like, I'm sitting here trying to write articles on recruits for Wake Forest and everything. Now I'm going like, oh, the hell is USC and UCLA doing? Like, I think. Go for it. What were you saying?
No, I was just saying, I can't imagine John Wilmer, when he tweeted that, was like, I cannot wait to shake up everybody's work day who cares about college sports or works in college sports. We were just glad, by the way, we were just joking about this. We were glad this didn't happen during our earlier space today where we were hosting the athletic director of Cincinnati, because that would have been awkward. Oh, so, by the way, congratulations on your move to the Big 12. USC and UCLA are moving to the Big 10. And, like, just, you know, he would probably pause for a second. But keep going. Sorry about that.
No, I think the biggest thing right now, I think people need to have an idea of, like, at least from the fan perspective, is athletic directors know stuff is happening. Like, I don't think – I know people were kind of blindsided by the Oklahoma and Texas stuff like that. They all talk. They're all gossipers. Everyone in the athletic business is a gossiper. They all know that something like this is happening. And so if you're a Clemson fan or you're an FSU fan, you're a Miami fan, and you're sitting there like, man, you know, we got to get out of this ACC deal. First off, you can't do that for another few years. That contract is too hefty. You're not doing that. But B, you don't think those ADs have been working day and night to do that? And on the flip side, if you're Wake, if you're Vandy, if you're Stanford, you don't think those ADs are working day and night to be like, okay, how do we stay afloat? And I mean, I know there's always this panic of, you know, what happens with the super conference. I know Nicole from the Athletic was like, oh yeah, she's heard around 40. I mean, I've heard pushing 50, and I think pushing 50 makes sense because, I mean, if you're South Carolina, if you're Indiana, if you're Rutgers, for example, and you are in the super – you want to be in the super conference, you're already getting your teeth kicked in by Michigan, Ohio. If you're Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State from certain points, are you really going to agree to something that gets you, oh yeah, now I got to face those three and then Clemson and then Georgia and then Bama and then LSU? No, you're only going to do that if you have someone that you think you can beat. I think that's the reason why, I mean, Maryland took check and left. Maryland knew they were going to be 3-9. You're like, well, we get a check. But I don't think if you're in South Carolina, if you're a school that's I don't want to say proud, but if you're a school that, that has this rich history of being decent at football, you're not just going to go and jump without having some sort of security that you're not going to go 0-9, 0-10 every year. And I think that's something people need to keep in perspective when they're like, oh, well, this is the end for this team and this team. And it's like, I mean, for, you know, your Old Dominions and for your, you know, your kind of your G5 teams, probably, yeah. But for your teams that are Power 5 and that are still fine, like, I mean, even like a Utah, like, if we had this conversation 5-6 years ago, is Utah really going to be like a team that's like, oh, no, I don't know what's happening there. But now it's like, you know, if Utah ends up in the Big Ten right now, I wouldn't be surprised. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I know people want to be hysterical and want to be like, this is the end of things, but there's a long way to go on this.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. I mean, if you look at the course of college football history, you could say the end of the Southwest Conference was the end of college football. The introduction of NIL was the end. The introduction of the BCS was the end. The killing of the BCS was the end. The playoff was the end. I mean, you could even go back all the way back to, you know, this darn forward pass is going to be the end of college football. College football is still going to hang around. It's still going to be the sport that we all know and love. It's just going to be different. But man, it is definitely hard to not look at this news though and see, you know, this is the next evolution of the haves versus the have-nots. If you are a smaller school like an Old Dominion or a Wake Forest or anybody that's not in one of these two major conferences now, college football will still exist, but it might be slightly different for you now. I know we've got another caller up. I believe
we
that
do.
Is
Jesse. Jesse, we'd love to talk to you. And for those of you listening, just a quick reminder, this is RCFB Talk 41. We love hearing from you. We're talking all the big rumors of USC and UCLA seem pretty much destined to be in the Big Ten as of the end of, sounds like the 2023 season they'll be joining. We'll see how that goes and also what happens to all the other conferences that are going to be fighting for scraps. Jesse, what's up?
Hey, so right off the bat, I'm actually a Nets fan. So thanks for that news. I hadn't heard it and now I'm sad.
You are welcome / my condolences.
I was really happy because I thought things were going to be chill and no. Anyway, I disagree a little bit on the previous speaker's point just because – I mean, yeah, like I'm actually from New Jersey, so, you know, I like Rutgers and there schools like that. You know, I understand what you're saying with, do you really want to join this new super conference and lose 7 or 8 games every year? At the same time, if you don't join that super conference, you're probably not relevant in athletics, right? Like you're not going to be able to compete at a really high level. You're going to be $70 million a year behind everyone else. So I really do think it is kind of like, you have to join in if you know, it's a decision that athletic directors and chancellors and presidents have to sit down and say, hey, are we serious about competing in athletics? If the answer is yes, yeah, we're joining there and maybe we'll lose 8 games a year, 3 out of 4 years. But that fourth year, we can actually put on a real product and we can at least make money. Otherwise, yeah, you know, maybe they'll say, hey, it's not worth it. We'll go out. We'll tap out. We'll be a fine mid-major. But I do think that a lot of them are just going to make the choice to lose games because they'd rather have the clout than just not be there.
Absolutely.
I'd also like to say that just I am now very much in terms of, you know, who's going to rate who. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Oregon and Washington approach the Big Ten and say, hey, we're also big public schools. We got really good academics. We have a lot of, you know, high profile in college football. Let's make something work as well.
I think breaking news first. Hang on 1 second. Jesse, I know that you mentioned Kevin Durant and the Nets. News now coming out from Yahoo Sports. Kevin Durant has listed the Phoenix Suns as his preferred trade destination.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So if we're talking about, you know, Big Ten swaps to Pac-12 country, you know, going from the New York market to the Phoenix market, that is a major swap.
Maybe he's going to join the border conference.
Maybe he's going to join the conference.
Yeah. But, you know, I think there's some I agree, though. I think a school like Rutgers, who might not win all the time and might struggle or, you know, Indiana or some of the other Big Ten schools that haven't always been at the top, I think they are, yeah, completely incentivized to keep joining, to keep playing. All you need are a couple of good seasons to get everyone hyped up and potentially get that momentum going. Plus, you're earning all that money, media rights deals that's continually coming in. So walking away. It's almost like the program gets caught in that term you sometimes hear in professional careers, the golden handcuffs, where it's like you can't not work at that job anymore because you have so much stuff that you have to maintain. You know, so even though you hate your job, but it pays a lot, you're stuck working there. I think to an extent, that's almost where some of these programs are. It's like they hate the competitiveness of it, but they can't really leave because they relied completely on the money that comes in from the conference. So in a way, they're kind of, they're locked in a bit into that. But that was a great point. I enjoyed those points. And we want to keep people talking because this is a lot of stuff. AJ, Francis, we'd love to hear from you. What's up?
How you doing? Just wanted to, first of all, say go Terps. I am a former football player at Maryland, and even though I know Maryland is a basketball school, as a former football player, I love the idea of UCLA and USC joining the Big Ten with us. I remember when we first left the ACC, a lot of people in the ACC thought that, you know, we're going for the money grab and they're crazy for leaving the ACC. And now we look like the smartest people in the world because even though we rarely are able to compete in football, except for this past year, we've competed in basketball every single year. And I think that that will continue. And, you know, just the fact that you're able to play a USC or a UCLA potentially in your regular season, along with a State, Ohio State, that's intriguing to a lot of kids to be able to play against that competition, because you play against that competition, that gives you a better chance to get, you know, drafted. Now, I played in the ACC and I didn't get drafted. I played 6 years in the NFL, but I was undrafted. If I would have more games against USC, UCLA, instead of Wake Forest, instead of, you know, NC State, maybe I would have had more high profile career coming out of college. So I just wanted to say that I love the move for the Big Ten. I need them to change the name. We can't be the Big Ten anymore. It's called the Big Conference. Not Iowa.
AJ, I think your call is breaking up on us a bit. We're starting to hear a bit of a robotic voice as it's breaking down. And we,
oh, but sorry. Do you hear me now?
I just want to say all of those were great points. And I think I love that you touched on the fact that it benefits players at all of these teams, like Maryland, like where you played. And like, you know, the previous caller, we were talking about Rutgers or Indiana or Illinois. Again, they may not necessarily be season-to-season dominating champions or anything like that. But the fact that they get to go play all of these programs, in addition to Michigan, in addition to Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, they got to go play in the Coliseum. They got to go play in the Rose Bowl because that's UCLA. For those who may not know, that's UCLA's home stadium. And those are just glorious places, not only play a game, but get attention, because those are always nationally televised games. So I think you're absolutely right. There is going to be a strong benefit to a lot of the recruiting at all of these schools to suddenly have those two programs in there, because they're high enough profile that those games tend to also get the national, the primo primetime attention. If I'm going to just use Illinois as an example because I like it. It's in the middle of the country. You know, if Illinois is having an upward season and suddenly the networks want to feature those games, again, the likelihood of UCLA or USC being a solid program that was going to get that sweet spot at the top because you might have the ranked versus ranked game is only going to benefit the players at all of these schools. But even if the team's not doing that great, you're still going to get attention from playing all of these programs. JD, what do you think?
Absolutely.
Man, I'm still like just trying to like adjust to all the news, see everything that's coming in. It's still such a wild situation. I know now we have reports from Ross Dellinger talking about the ACC moves, and they're trying to figure out what to do right now. And apparently some of the questions that are currently being asked is what will Notre Dame do, if they'll end up becoming a full member of the ACC, or if they're going to be able to even retain Florida State and Clemson and to make sure that their grant of rights stay up. ACC source has apparently said this league needs to remain relevant. How do we make this league survive? That's according to Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. I think obviously with USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, this is going to be a huge move, but this is not the end result. I think at least based on this reporting, we're going to see some major shakeups. I alluded earlier that the ACC is going to be not a quiet power in all of this. Wherever that's going to happen, we're going to see some changes coming here down the line.
Jesse, I know you wanted to add something real quick here.
Yeah, if that's okay. I was just wondering if you guys think this is how perhaps like Boise State gets into the Pac-12.
You know, that's been something I've been thinking of. My immediate thoughts were, I mean, my favorite example is San Diego State. They're desperate to be treated like USC and UCLA. And I know that from a lot of internal people who work there have told me about this. So now I'm thinking this is like the monkey paw meme. It's like you get into the Pac, I don't know if they're going to be in the Pac-12, but you get into the Pac-12, but USC and UCLA just left, which might be to their benefit because suddenly they'd be the only P5 program in all of Southern California that, you know, within the, I should say not the only P, but the only one for the Pac-12, which could be beneficial. But it's still, man, like suddenly the infamous history of Stanford, Cal, USC, and UCLA holding their nose up at some of the academics that were offered by potential applicants like Boise or Fresno or San Diego State. Now suddenly it's like, well, you know, they may be the next big options. Because I'd be curious, them, Colorado State seems to be fairly well financed, but I don't know if they need another Colorado school. Do they do something crazy and try to go after, you know, an ACC school like Georgia Tech, you know, that may or may not feel entirely welcome? If I'm the Big Ten, I don't stop. I would see if I could poach Georgia Tech. Academically good school, you're suddenly in the South. And then, heck, why not go after Miami? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of good points there. Hey, Matt, Matt V, we wanted to hear from you. We let you up a second ago. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
Hey, guys, I actually have two quick. Well, I mean, you not necessarily quick. You guys can talk about them all you want. But first point, and kind of more of a question.
Yo, before I go, I just wanted to say, I really think they need to change the conference name to the Big, though. Instead of Big Ten, because there's 45 teams.
Oh, yeah, that's where you cut out. Yeah, that's exactly where you would cut out. You were starting to say that.
It's like, just call it the Big with the I, with the one as the I. Like, because there's going to end up being 20 teams in this league.
I love it. Thanks, AJ. We appreciate it. So, Matt.
Yeah, no, two points. One's geographic. Right, because, you know, USC, UCLA, not exactly close to the nearest Big Ten school. So, I mean, of course we know about football. Like, I mean, football makes all the money, travel costs, all of that, not necessarily going to be a big issue. But what do you think that does for sports that are a little bit lower down the totem pole? Not to say that basketball, baseball are like not big earners necessarily, but the budgets for those sports are significantly less than football. And then just second, you kind of mentioned San Diego State, like Boise State. I just wanted to get y'all's take on what this would do to the group of five. Cause I am a Louisiana Tech graduate. So, you know, we're already kind of screwed with Conference USA the way it is, but do you think that potentially going to a Big Four that the group of five starts to scoop up these leftovers and maybe, I mean, again, they'll probably end up doing their own thing, but, you know, TV contracts, how do you see all that playing out?
Well, I think you've definitely hit a couple of interesting points. And I think when we're talking about, I think men's basketball is also going to be pretty okay because that's generally a revenue generating sport, maybe not as big as, so obviously there's differences. Kansas and UCLA probably generate a lot more than USC does in basketball, men's basketball. But with non-revenue sports, I think what we're going to see is the Big Ten is going to have to come up with some creative ways of cutting up the conference, maybe into, I don't know, they probably would have to try pods or something to minimize that transportation. Now, I'm sure the media rights deals are going to be significant to the point where you could still make up quite a bit of this travel cost going to and from the West Coast for sports that otherwise may or may not be earning a ton of money. Or I don't know if we're going to start seeing more affiliate conferences or you know, associate affiliate membership in other sports. I don't know if it suddenly strengthens something like the Big West or something because I know, for example, Hawaii is a classic example. They only play football in the Mountain West and their other sports play in another conference because it's just otherwise cost prohibitive.
Big West.
The Big West. So I think that's a legitimate question. And I think they will sit down and work that out. And certainly I think when the Big Ten brought in Maryland and Rutgers, they had to come up with some things there too, so that, you know, their teams aren't necessarily, all their teams have to travel all the way to Iowa or something like that. Now, as for the G5, this is going to be crazy town. I mean, once the P5 is done slugging it out, because certainly, as we've been saying, it seems like it's going to be suddenly an open season between four conferences, probably with the SEC just sort of cackling like a madman in the background. You know, I don't think they're just going to be laughing at all of this after they got their pull of Texas and Oklahoma. While, you know, the ACC, Pac-10, from Pac-12, well, they are Pac-10 now, the ACC, Pac-10, and Big 12 are just slugging it out for other teams, and maybe the Big 10 isn't done. But if I'm one conference that's the most nervous on the Mountain West, they managed to stay stable year after year. They didn't lose anybody in that last round, but now suddenly they've got attractive teams, and if the P5 aren't done poaching teams to replace people they've lost, I think they become an attractive target, especially to the Pac-12. But yeah. The Pac-12 and the Mountain West seem to be the most stable through the years and years.
And I think it's geographic once you get into the Group of Five, because the Group of Five, they're not going to be making the money that the Power Five is going to do. You're right about the media deals. That'll probably offset things. And Conference USA, while they were still mostly intact, you know, having a quote unquote travel partner has really been a big thing. So, I mean, like for basketball, a team like Rutgers, they're going to make a weekend trip out to the West Coast, and they'll probably play both USC, UCLA back to back in some order. But I think you're right about the Mountain West is probably going to be the one that has the most to lose, considering, you know, once you get into to losing those bigger cash cows like USC, UCLA that are national brands that do bring in more revenue, it's probably more attractive for them to try to go for something that at least makes some geographic sense.
Absolutely. And, or at least replaces that market. Hey, thanks for, and we appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for joining us. Caleb, yeah. You're patient. We'd love to talk to you. We're going to try and get through as many people as we can. We apologize. This has been a real, really interesting situation. What's up, Caleb?
Let me tell you, I'm an ASU fan. You know, I don't blame UCLA or USC for this. This conference is an absolute joke in today's world. We're an embarrassment, in my opinion, in terms of Power Five. You know, other teams I think are going to leave as soon as they, if they officially leave, I wouldn't be surprised, like you guys have talked about, the Big 12 knocking on Colorado, knocking on ASU, knocking on U of A's door saying, hey, do you want to come to an actual conference? And, you know, I think that's just how we're going to be now. You know, the revenue is going to be great for them. And like you said earlier, for recruiting, the Big Ten's going to get a huge recruiting pool now. I mean, you bring in two California schools to your conference, it's going to open a lot of doors for them, for every school in that conference now. And I think it'll be good for USC for competitive-wise. I mean, who really wants to watch the Pac-12 at dark? Now they can actually play nationally televised games every weekend. Same with UCLA. They're going to get day slots. We don't really get that opportunity. So I think it's smart, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a downfall of the Pac-12 the coming 10 years.
And one of the many posts that have appeared on RCFB since all this broke is somebody dug up the 2011 article that said the Pac-10, soon to become Pac-12, has agreed to what will be the most valuable deal, television contract for any conference. And boy, oh boy, maybe for a hot second it was, but that just completely, that train sailed right by. That was
We have terrible leadership at the helm. And then, like you said, TV deal, what TV deal? You know, Oregon plays like five, they're the best team in the pack. They have like five national televised games and they kick off at 8 o'clock on Western time zone. So it's, you know, games finish at 2 a.m.
If you put on the Pac-12 network, you might as well just classify it, you know, or it's like putting something on C-SPAN. No one's going to see it.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's just like, I mean, yeah, anyway, I hear you, man. And again, I think, I have to say, if you haven't, those of you who haven't heard him, the new Big 12 commissioner, Yermark, he's dynamic. He's an interesting guy. I watched a couple of interviews with him actually just last night when we were prepping to talk to the Cincy director of athletics, and I'm like, oh wow, this guy's like not like Bowlesby. This guy's actually dynamic. He's interesting. Used to work for the Nets for many years. Used to work for NASCAR. He helped put together the Sprint Cup licensing deal, which was the biggest in sports at the time. I mean, I'm like, wow, they really brought somebody dynamic who's ready to drop down and make moves. And now I'm like, if he's not knocking on the door of the Arizona schools and Colorado, which I think he should, suddenly you might see some moves there. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Thanks, Kill.
I'd love to see it. That's all I say. I'd love to see ASU go to the Big 12. That's all I want. Get out of the pack.
Thanks for joining us, man. Hey, let's see here. Titan Ball. Sorry, I see the shortened version of it. Then I'll click on the name, and I realize it's way longer than that. So, Titan Ball, what's up?
Looks like he is still connecting. Just a reminder for all of y'all. Obviously, we want to hear all of y'all's thoughts, but you do need to request on the mobile app. It doesn't necessarily support a window browser. So if you've got a desktop or laptop or something else like that, you do need to connect with a phone in order to be able to talk on there. We know that Twitter's had some difficulty with that in the past. So just a heads up and advisory on that.
So Titan Ball, we'll just hold on. We'll get to you whenever you solve the unmuting issue. That's no problem. But meanwhile, we have Jay Nix. Jay Nix, we'd love to hear from you.
Hi. I just wanted to – I'm a UC guy, fan. Going to the Big 12 is exciting. But what happened today is like a bonfire on an elephant and letting him loose in the wild, but which is very exciting for a lot of people. But wouldn't it be more reasonable for the Pac 12 to try to save their conference, similar to the Big 12, you know, expanding across the nation instead of staying location in the Texas area, like the Pac-12 going from saying, I mean, because there's still some liable teams in the G5 schools, right? You got SMU that's up and coming, that's in the Texas area, reasonable for the Pac-12 to go. Memphis, great football program, or better football program. Great history in basketball and other sports. You also have, I know you guys talked about this earlier, but you know, you got the Mountain West. Would it be more reasonable for them to bring on the Mountain West and a few other G5 schools to try to stabilize their conference? Because it's going to be a domino effect either way, right? It's a bunch of rumors. There's a lot of things that's going to happen in the next few months, and it's going to be crazy. But the ACC, other than Clemson in football right now, you know, you got maybe Virginia Tech or one of the other schools in the conference, NC State. But who else do they have that's going to keep the ACC together if they don't get Notre Dame? Who'd have thought?
Yeah, so for the ACC to stay together, I think Notre Dame is going to be their number one call. They already have the scheduling agreement where they play, I believe it's five ACC teams a year as part of their scheduling agreement, and the ACC would absolutely love to lock down Notre Dame as a full member, and then, you know, pick your own poison of Cincinnati, West Virginia, somebody else available in that area to bring them into the ACC. But it's going to be kind of that same thing with the Pac-12. I mean, I could see the Pac-12 trying to go in and trying to bring somebody out of the Big 12. I imagine Texas Tech will be a huge target. I could see Houston as a huge target because you're going to have a massive market out there. You have a very engaged school. You have football getting way better. Their basketball team has been in a Final Four and Elite Eight the last 2 years. That would be a huge pull if Pac-12 can pull them up. But I also could see the ACC deciding, hey, Houston gets us into the Texas market. That also gets us into a new recruiting base that we don't necessarily have. There's a lot of opportunities on the table to try to poach from these three Power Five leagues that are still around. And that's even before we go into the G5 schools. We already saw Boise State, Memphis, Colorado State. They all announced these huge capital campaigns to kind of pony themselves up for the next round of realignment. But now here we are. We all expected, you know, maybe there might be some more shifting and settling in maybe 2026, 2027 after all these other moves are final. But no, this is the next tidal wave that has come in. And I think if you are any of these Power Five schools, you are blowing up the phones. You are trying to figure out who you can poach from another Power Five before you get to a G5. But then even then, it's going to be fast scrambling. As soon as you have a Power Five tell you no, you move to the next one, and then once your Power Fives are completely exhausted, I mean, Bobak, it could be anything like a Boise State, an SMU even. I feel like the options are endless.
SMU has come up a few times. I like that one. That could be an interesting one. But I agree with you. I think I'm not sure how much the ACC is going to play into this, but I think this is going to end up being a knife fight between the Big 12 and Pac-12 to see who's going to get whose teams and who can make a better offer to keep them together. And then once those are done, we're going to see supplementing among the better options in the G5 to see who can fill in there. Because they'll say yes to either one, I think, to some extent, as long as the money is significantly better. I think it's a sensible move. I mean, because this just – not that it was really any surprise, but this move, if USC and UCLA go to the Big Ten, which seems like all but a done deal the more that these reports keep coming out, I mean, it really just confirms that, you know, the geographic footprints are only modestly important anymore, if that. And certainly, there's so much to this. It's incredible. We are living in interesting times, as the curse is said to say. We want to keep letting people up to talk to them. Let's see here. Garrett. Garrett, we'd love to hear from you. What's up?
Hello. Oh, I don't think I can't hear you. Okay, now I can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, yeah. There's a brief pause where I couldn't hear. So I'm in a divided household. This is a Michigan and Oregon household, and so we're taking this news in a very curious light. But I'm just really curious about, you know, I know that the discussion always, Notre Dame always comes up, and. You know, obviously Notre Dame's tied to the ACC. Geographically, they would make much more sense in the Big Ten. But are we truly at the point now where conferences are totally throwing away any type of geographic cohesion whatsoever? I mean, the SEC seems to be like the only conference that has some to speak of. Like, they are still totally in the Southeast. Whereas, like, I mean, Michigan, the Big Ten looks like it's becoming a national conference with this move. More so than any of the other conferences. Is this truly the beginning of the super conference era and the end of any type of geographic regional conferences?
Chris Vanini literally just tweeted it out, and I think it's the same exact thought that I feel as well. We are on our way to a Fox conference and an ESPN conference. I think regionalism has long since been something that's been just thrown out the window for at least a decade now. This last round of realignment in the 2010s,
among the elite teams.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're a small conference, it's still very regional because there's no way to make it work. But
yeah, but still, regardless, though, I mean, I think this is a thing of. I think travel budgets, even though they will be ballooning, they have the TV revenue to really back that up. That's something that we didn't have in previous iterations of college football because, you know, not every game was on TV. Not every game was boosted up by Fox or ESPN to a national audience. So now that we kind of have that for every school, there's a lot more money on the table. And I think when that comes to be, they have a lot more opportunity to go to a more national audience to play a bigger national schedule. And I think conferences are just going to have to go along with that. What are your thoughts on that, Bob Ack?
I agree. I think we are heading to two national conferences, and I like Benini's take. He's been a guest with us before, and I mean, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be who can make the best money out of all of this, and that's going to have to come from the media deals. That's the bulk of it. So, yeah.
My goodness. Hang on. Sorry. Breaking news in from John Wilner. With the new Big Ten rights, USC and UCLA are expected to top $100 million annually in media rights alone.
Wow. So, yeah, and there we go. I mean, that's it. These conferences are basically dancing to the tune of the networks, or at least not intentionally. The networks aren't telling them what to do, but they're smart people. They've got analysts. They've sat down and worked out how can we maximize value for their shareholders, and their shareholders are their programs. And the programs have come up with clearly a winning solution to this, because that's a ton of money.
If you're a Notre Dame, though, right, you're bringing in all it still doesn't seem to me like Notre Dame absolutely has to join a conference, because they're getting all that money themselves. They don't have to share it with anybody, really. They have, you know, mostly schedule autonomy. Like, I could still see a scenario where they just still fly their own flag. As long as they got that NBC TV deal, they don't really ever need to fully immerse themselves in a conference. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, I think they're going to stick to that as long as they can. You're right. If Sirius, our usual co-host, who is unfortunately in a meeting right now because this did not appear at a normal sort of news, he, as he likes to say, the closest I think anyone ever got to finally bringing Notre Dame into a conference was that pandemic season. The ACC really could have had brought them in and had them on the hook and just didn't do it. They decided, I think, to respect them and the stresses that the program was under and hope that they would recognize them and like them later enough to finally get married. But they didn't. So here they are. They're having too much fun playing the field. So I agree with you on that, Garrett. Thanks so much for joining us. We want to keep letting people up. So Ari, thanks for your patience. We'd love to hear from you. What's up?
So I'm a UH alum and fan. So we're currently, well, not this year, but next year we'll be moving into the Big 12. I think my reaction to this, as everyone's, is, which, what? this was definitely really crazy. But I guess my question is, it's kind of a twofold part. I know everyone talks about NIL and, you know, would like to pin this on NIL. I personally think the writing was on the wall like a couple years before NIL really came to be. So I guess my first question is, what do you, obviously it's more than just, there's no one solid reason, but what do y'all think is a, you know, major driving factor behind this move? And not even just this move, but like we've seen the OU and UT commit to going to the SEC, and now you have UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten. What do y'all think is the number, what do y'all think is like a driving force behind that? And then also, again, as someone who's waiting to join, you know, a P5 conference, just what do you think? I know someone mentioned possibly UH being, you know, a potential school to be poached, either by the Pac-12 or the ACC, but realistically, do you think that'll happen, or do you think they will go G5 before they try and poach another school, like another P5 school?
Well, that's ultimately what it all comes down to is one simple answer, and that's money. And I think you're right. I don't think NIL necessarily had anything to do with this. I think, if anything, NIL was something that pushed to the forefront because of how much money was starting to come into schools via these media rights deals that began to sort of develop, oh gosh, now 10 years ago, as we were talking about that quaint report from 2011, talking about the Pac-10's new media deal being so enormous and was really just the beginning of things going up exponentially. So certainly the move that the one reason that pushed all this is how big the media deals got. And that's, to an extent, why the Pac-12 ultimately, I think, lost in all of this race to be at this state, because they certainly have lost if their two biggest programs, or two of their biggest programs in their biggest market, have decided it's just not worth staying. So where they lost was they crafted what seemed like a good idea on paper, but Larry Scott and his cronies just couldn't make it work, which was the Pac-12 network, which would have, if it had worked, they wouldn't have had to share revenue with anybody, but they did not do a good job of getting it into people's homes. They didn't get any cable companies really interested for many years. It was only available on like Dish, which a lot of people didn't have. So DirecTV was completely, they weren't being shown. So ultimately the Big Ten and SEC sticking to their network deals showed, or it's probably their cable sports deals showed exactly how much can be pulled out. So ultimately, I think that's it. Now for Houston, they're still, money is still going to be great. We were just, earlier today, we were just talking to the other, new ACC, Big 12 teams, Cincinnati. And while he didn't want to get into the numbers, I know from his earlier quotes that just the prorated amount, not the full media rights deal they're going to get in the Big 12, just the prorated amount for the first 2 years before they become a full member, is going to be over double or nearly triple what Cincinnati was receiving per year in their media rights deal in the American. So what we're seeing there, I mean, is going to be the same for Houston. They're going to suddenly see a significant amount of money coming to that program, which will let them make improvements. Is it going to be at the level that the big sounds like the Big Ten's about to have? Probably not. They're going to need to bring in more teams. I mean, because that's what you're trying to do. You're ultimately trying to bring in markets. Houston's always going to be an attractive target because they're a big school. Rice is academically great and everything, but they're just not able to maintain that level unless they really decide to shift a lot of things at that school, which I don't think is going to happen. Houston's an attractive player. So I could see them being pulled into another program because they bring that whole Houston market, Texas recruiting. That's going to be attractive. So if I was a Houston fan, I'd feel a little bit better about all of this because it is still, I think, an attractive school and an attractive market because of those factors. Even it's the same thing that I think to an extent brought you made UCF attractive. And if USF sounds like they're now realizing it's a good time to invest in their program as they try to get that on-campus stadium, maybe there'll be another one that'll eventually come out of the market as an attractive program to sort of shore up some of these conferences. What do you think, Riff? JD?
No, I firmly agree on that. So everybody's going to be chasing this money. They're going to chase the media rights. And I would say, you know, if you're a Houston fan, this is a great opportunity for you because not only is the 12 out there right now taking you in no matter what, but if the Pac-12 gets a little desperate, if the ACC is a little desperate, you might even be able to realign if you decide that you end up getting a better deal somewhere else. Obviously, with a lot of stuff with media rights, the Pac-12, per some reporting from Ross Dellinger right now, their media rights are just about up, which means all of their players are now free agents in terms of the schools that are in that conference. There's a lot of opportunity between three Power 5 conferences that are desperate. And when you see desperation, you see some stupid money start to get thrown out. There's a lot of possibility for these schools. And I would say that if you are in any of those conferences, this is complete musical chairs. And it does not matter until that final piece of music stops.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Ari. We appreciate it. Penfield, we'd love to hear from you.
Hey guys, I'm a UConn fan, and I'm kind of wondering how this could impact our recruiting in Southern California.
UConn.
but seriously, I do have a question, or more of a hope and a wish and a prayer that college football will move on from conferences, create their own national, whatever you want to call it, super league. And just return all the other sports back to like a regional thing. And I'm wondering if there's any hope of that happening.
I mean, ultimately, I mean, I hate to keep pulling the money, but if somehow somebody can make that financially attractive, it'll happen. But, you know, I'm glad, you know, gosh, I'm glad we have a UConn fan who chimed in because suddenly I wonder, UConn, they've got to eventually join a conference again, and I wonder where they would be because suddenly they become attractive again. What do you think, JD? I mean, who, if you're in this current situation and you're one of these conferences, does UConn become attractive now because you're trying to shore up? I mean, I don't know if the ACC would do it. They always seem like they would be a natural fit because then you'd also have BC nearby, or maybe because BC is nearby, that would make them less attractive. But I don't know. I mean, where do you think that? I mean, at this rate, I wouldn't be shocked if the Pac-12 tries to go after them because at this point, they seem to be in dire straits, and that would make no sense for anybody.
I think for the UConn Huskies, I still think that their best bet is still going to be somewhere in that G5 rank. I know Conference USA has tried to reach out to them before, and obviously we haven't gotten quite there yet. But I think, again, you got to remember, no matter how this shifts up for the power teams, you're going to see some kind of fundamental shift on the G5s who will be desperate to take in anybody. And I think that's going to be your best opportunity if you're a UConn fan. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to be something along the lines of, you know, an American reaches out and tries to expand, Conference USA reaches out. I can see the MAC even deciding to heck with it. We're going to try to reach out because they did the attempt of getting Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky, and that didn't play out. So I think if UConn really wants to join a conference, it's possible. But I would hit the brakes before we talk about Power Five conferences reaching out for them.
Yeah, I just want to really quickly go back to Penfield's earlier question, which was about the will we ever reach a conference-less state where you just have a bunch of teams. The more I think about it, the more I'm hesitant to say that will happen anytime soon, only because there's so many college football teams. And I know networks want to kind of make their money the most effective. So it is easy to deal with fixed groups of teams and recognized brands. So I think to an extent that the ease of negotiating with those best kind of practices and with those groups is going to win the day over trying to just do a conference-less universe of multiple independent teams. Just the media rights don't really seem to make that work, and I'm not sure what it would take. And don't get me wrong. I mean, that's like the classic disruptive technology argument. Like, if it works that out, they could potentially, you know, change everything. But I don't know if it would be beneficial to teams. To me, that sounds more like it would be a Napster effect, which didn't do well for that industry when it first appeared. And I'm old enough to remember when that happened live. So anyway, we appreciate that, Penfield. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'll throw in my last 2 cents on
sure.
What I would hope for our university is. Basically, I'm not interested in like G5 for football. I'm fine staying independent if that's what will preserve a more natural like regional conference with like-minded schools and preliminary basketballs. I think most UConn fans tend to prefer that. But, you know, obviously we're not going to turn down the big money that comes along with football or something like that. But anyway, that's my hope. But we'll see.
We appreciate joining us, Matt. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, West Coast man originally. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Can you guys hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, perfect. Hey, so I've been listening. Actually, I kind of just lately hopped in. I saw the news, and I'm in between some things right now, but my statement here as a college football coach is, you know, this is what I think Penfield said as far as a national, you know, independent type thing where it's just, you know, football might be the only sport that does it. I honestly feel like that could happen in the future, but the future being 10 plus years. Now, what I will say is that, you know, as a native Californian, like you said, and I appreciate you mentioning that, you know, BYU should be interesting as somebody that you can try and add if you're trying to save the Pac-12. And I would say, you know, that another Southern California team that I think can draw some interesting attendance and potential TV numbers is San Diego State. If you guys got any, you know, opinions on that, I'd love to hear. But my last little statement is, you know, can you guys run over what all has been officially announced from the schools, or has this all been leaked information? That's what I missed earlier in this conversation. So I appreciate it, and I'll get off my speaking time now. Thank you.
Well, thanks. First of all, thanks for calling in, Adam. And just to kind of, I'm going to go a little bit in reverse order here. I think what we've been hearing are basically initially John Wilner, the San Jose-based reporter who's always got his fingers on the pulse of the Pac-12. He's the one who first reported it, and it was confirmed via sources. Again, we're in the sources quote world right now, who have been saying that not only is it probably happening, it's almost a done deal, and it's just a formality that may be voted on by the Big Ten as early as tonight. So that's where we are right now. And I'm not surprised. We probably won't hear anything official from anyone until it's a done deal. Just the way in, you know, organizations work in these sorts of circumstances. Now, we have been talking about like who would be an attractive addition to the Pac-12 if they can't poach other P5 teams from, say, the Big 12, ACC, since those are really the only two that could possibly be on the table for them because I don't think they'll be able to pull anyone from the SEC and Big Ten since they've decided to elevate themselves to another universe at this point. But I think San Diego State would be certainly attractive because suddenly you have a team in the Southern California region again. And I was joking that, again, they were always trying to be like USC and UCLA and wanted to be treated equally like them. And now here they get to finally join that, might have a chance to join that conference, but without them. The other, I think it's interesting, BYU has been in the back of my head. Over the years, everyone, or at least those who are a little more in depth with the stories of the Pac-10 and then the Pac-12, know that there's always been a pushback against specifically BYU. And there's a lot of reasons about it. It isn't just about the religious affiliation. It's to the extent it's a cultural shift, particularly a cultural jar between the Bay Area and to an extent the LA area schools. So USC, UCLA, Stanford, and Cal, and that institution. The argument has always been, oh, well, they don't play on, I think, Sundays. So that would also be a potential problem for the non-revenue sports. But really, they were just trying to come up with excuses not to invite BYU. And I wouldn't be surprised if BYU doesn't forget that. I mean, with the moment the big – I mean, they've got to – I can't imagine BYU is going to necessarily give up on the Big 12 unless the Pac-12 makes an incredible offer. Because, first of all, they spent decades being, you know, laughed at by the Pac-12 whenever they would probably quietly ask if they could join. Especially all those years they were independent, which they decided to do to improve their stature. I could see them being more loyal to the Big 12, but that maybe I'm reading too much into it. Enough money will change all that. And by the way, Sirius, thanks for joining us. we know you were in a meeting and we're just like, man, he's just like, how is this all happening now? But JD, Sirius, what do you guys think about that? Oh, it looks like the speaker bug has hit our co-host.
Oh no.
Well,
let's oh man, I'm still trying to scroll through all this news and see all the latest that is coming in through here. Again, this has just been such an absurd day in terms of college sports. One of the things that I've now seen in a joke tweet is Michigan State and USC need to play in a Helen of Troy matchup every single year with the Spartans and the Trojans. But
that would be better than most of the Big Ten. Oh, no. Are we going to see awful Big Ten trophies?
Yes. These
new ones they keep coming out with, which are just comically bad. It's like some marketer at, you know, I don't know, like Darden restaurants came up with it or something like that, that had no soul. We need classic trophies back again. Adam, you wanted to add something real quick.
Yes. And I just thought of this. Why did either one of the conferences, not reach out to Iowa or Iowa State respectively? 'Cause they're not in the same conference, correct? Like to me,
correct.
USC, UCLA, again, kind of regionally, and I get the TV revenue is astronomical as far as what it can bring with the LA area, but it just seems like there's other options that could have been done. Now, I also think that, you know, Iowa or Iowa State could very easily jump ship because everybody knows that the old classic UCLA, Iowa, or Iowa State, whichever one, you know, things go through, is a great game that loves to be watched, i.e. what you guys just said, the USC Michigan State. That's a huge rivalry.
Well, I think definitely Iowa State's going to be a team that could be in play only because they're the Big 12. Iowa's staying put in the Big 10. It only gets sweeter every year they stay in it. But certainly, I mean, the only problem with those teams is the market in Des Moines and that region isn't quite as sweet as the 17 million people that live in the LA metropolitan area. But I think the reason any school that was going to poach USC was probably going to have to take UCLA. And luckily, they're both attractive targets for a variety of reasons. And that market is so enormous. I mean, I think I did the math. Like that metropolitan, I mean, if you're doing the extended metropolitan area of Los Angeles, it's got more people than the combined states of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama put together. I mean, it's a lot of people. So that's why I think they're willing to get both and potentially get a bigger chunk of that. Because even a small slice really dwarfs so many other markets. I mean, and I'd say unlike New York City, there is a more healthy market for those local teams. Then so you will actually get a bigger chunk than, let's say, if you're taking New York and you're arguing Rutgers to somehow New York school, that was, it was kind of a push there, back when that was said. So I think that's going to make them, that's why the Big Ten was more than happy to take them both. Cause also you get two academically prestigious schools, which is a big plus. But thanks for joining us, Adam. It's always great hearing from you. Gosh, we're trying to get through as many as we can. Rich, you've been patient.
Breaking news,
real fast. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, hang on. Breaking news, real fast. Some folks with rivals right now reporting SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles is now new potential target to host a future Big Ten championship game starting in 2025.
Oh, that would be attractive. I mean, not that, but Indianapolis has its charms in its kind of bleak industrial way. I went and covered the national championship there last January, and it was interesting. So, SoFi could be fun. Although it'd be really funny. That'll, of course, be the year Rutgers makes it, so they'll all enjoy traveling cross country for that one, only to get blown out by Ohio State or something. But let's see. Rich, what's up?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great.
Central Michigan guy here, Fire Up Chips, and no dog in this time college football fan. Not surprised at what you go Chips, yeah. Not surprised what's going on. In the last few years, it's very apparent that money is king in college football, which I'm of the mind that this will bring on the obsolescence of conferences. I mean, at some point, why does Michigan and Ohio State want to share revenue with Rutgers and Maryland? And I really think the future will hold. Individual schools will draw their own schedules and sign their own television contracts. And it's clear money is the only thing that's driving all of this, from conference realignment to NIL and everything else. And so that's where this is all headed.
Yeah, no, you are certainly in that right direction. I think one of the things that we will eventually see is, again, with money motivating all of this, I think one thing that we will eventually see is not necessarily Ohio State going, hey, why do I have to share money with Michigan? It's going to be, hey, we're Ohio State. We drive the train. Why are we sharing revenue with Indiana football? Why are we sharing it with Rutgers? Why are we sharing it with Maryland? It's going to be kind of a similar thing, I think, in the SEC. I think if you're like a Mississippi State fan right now, or if you are in one of the smaller schools as well, Vanderbilt might be in one of those tricky situations as well. They know for a fact that they're not driving the train in TV ratings or TV markets or media deals. And I think the natural thing that we're going to eventually start seeing is some form of contraction. So however we do this in the future, I think we're not going to see any kind of change in money motivating the powers that be, and especially for teams like USC and UCLA who have the power to do this change. Because let's also face it, you have to be a caliber of a USC or a UCLA to pull off this move. You're not going to get an Oregon State and a Washington State to pull off a move to the Big Ten. You're going to have to be one of these big schools that has power, that has the political clout. And I think eventually what we're going to see is these conferences that are driven by these giant schools are going to be the ones who finally dictate, hey, Vanderbilt doesn't pull its weight. Northwestern doesn't pull its weight. Why are we splitting our revenue with them when we can continue to make this amount of money or more with just these big teams altogether?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, at least if we're talking about driving the train, Purdue is safe. The Boilermakers have got this. But sorry. Go ahead, Rich.
Man, that drum is going to go to Southern California twice a year. That just dawned on me.
And quite frankly, this will all impact, I'm presuming, football only, because there's no way that women's track or lacrosse or any of the lower rung sports are going to be able to afford to fly out to the West Coast to be playing games on a regular basis, too. So we're probably just talking about college football in this regard. But I still believe that I just think that schools are going to be working in their own interest at some point. I just think there's the point of being in a conference is just going to be meaningless.
I have to say, games, that if you're pulling, if you're pulling in $100 million in media rights, you'll be able to afford to send your non-revenue teams on kind of like weekend or, you know, two-game series where you're actually playing both the L.A. schools or vice versa. So I think that I don't know. I think the non-revenue sports will be able to survive this. And men's basketball still makes enough money that it'll probably be able to take care of itself. But I think you're right. It's going to be interesting. But you can only be at this elite level to make that work financially. And I think there's something to be said there. I'm a little less – I know JD is more in tune with you in this. I don't know. I'm curious to see if it can ever be made to financially work to just let a bunch of teams go independent like it was, gosh, you know, 50 years ago when you look at the national conferences and there's like the independent group is like 30 teams long and has teams like Penn State and has teams like that. I don't know if we'll ever reach a point where what will happen to get those teams that don't quite have the same gloss kicked out would be a very cold, some very cold ADs. And who knows, we might reach that point, but also some really solid data to back it up where if we cut XYZ team out, we would get a bigger revenue boost the next time we renew the media deal. And I don't know how quietly that could be done without creating a lot of problems within the conference. Because can you imagine, you know, the SEC is now, or the Big Ten is now commissioning a study to see which teams really are holding back revenues. I mean, don't get me wrong, I could see it happen, but man, that would put some crazy pressure on a season. Because, I mean, certainly there's precedent there. I mean, I remember when Temple was kicked out of the Big East, but Sirius, did you want to add something? Oh, you lost audio. Oh, okay.
Hey, can I bring up one more point? I really appreciate the time, you guys. This is a very thoughtful conversation, and I'm very pleased to be part of it. There's going to be, I think, unintended consequences of all this too. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. The stakes are going to be raised higher in recruiting and getting the five-star people, which means universities are going to be spending all kinds of crazy money upgrading facilities and God knows what else they're going to be using that money with too. So I just, you know, I don't want to be sounding like an old man, like money is ruining college football, but you know, I do miss the days, and I'm 60 years old myself. I do miss the days of the automatic bowl bids, the Big 12 champion or what used to be the Big 8 champion getting to the Orange Bowl, and the Pac-10 and the Big 10 having their annual rivalry in the Rose Bowl too. Those days are long gone, but you know, I just think this is just with money being the end all be all to all of college football, this is going to really disrupt things in a lot of ways that we haven't even thought about. And with that, thank you very much for letting me speak.
Thank you for coming on board and giving us a little bit of your time. We really appreciate your thoughts. Appreciate all of the callers who have been coming up here and coming on to speak about this really huge news of USC and UCLA allegedly now going into the Big Ten. Several reports out corroborating this. This is RCFB Talk 41. And let's continue on with a couple of callers. Let's see. I think next up I've got LaMike. LaMike, I'm going to go ahead and try to connect you on here. LaMike, I believe you are on. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hey, I just wanted to say, in case nobody's seen it, that it was just confirmed that it's for all sports except for beach volleyball.
Who is the source on that one? Do you know?
Pulling it back up. It is Ryan Cartge with the LA Times.
Ryan Cartge with the LA Times. All right. So the LA Times now reporting that this will be for all sports with the exception of beach volleyball. I can't imagine, you know, why Michigan or a Ohio State does not have that type of athletics program. But
hey, Rutgers, Bobak, Rutgers beach volleyball, baby. It's all about Rutgers beach volleyball.
All right, so looks like it's going to be all sports. I know SRS, he and I are huge college baseball nerds, and I know that this is going to be really just absolutely dramatically changing through all of these different sports. I know already the SEC is going to be an absolute killer in college baseball with the addition of Texas. They've already got Texas A&M. Oklahoma was just in the College World Series. But now, in a very weird shift, we're going to see USC and UCLA, who historically have been really big schools in baseball, are now going to be going up and playing teams that traditionally don't play home games because it's still snowing in March and February. It's going to be a very dramatic change, I think. It might be for the advantage of USC and UCLA. Maybe that means they get more home games early to begin. They get the easier conference schedule. They get to be able to gel a little bit more before the playoffs. But I mean, I imagine with baseball, with basketball, with all of these different sports, that's going to be a huge change for all of that. LaMike, I know you got some thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge, and it really hinges on if anybody else in the Pac-12 is going to be even invited to the Big Ten. Like, I don't know if you guys think that Oregon and Washington, who are the two other money makers in the conference, are set to follow suit. There were some rumors when the original USC-UCLA rumors came out that Oregon and Washington were pursuing it as well. But I just don't know how it's going to fall out.
Absolutely. Well, LaMike, thank you so much for coming on and spending a little time with us. I know we still got more than 25 requests going in. I know Bobek and I are going to be getting close to a hard stop here. Unfortunately, some of us do have our day jobs and all that kind of jazz. But SRS, are you still with us?
I have moved to hosting from my car. So I'm going to let you take control, JD, because I'm the one actually hosting all of this from my phone. So hopefully I don't go through a tunnel.
All righty. Well, we will be calling off here in probably about like 15 minutes or so. Unfortunately, my email inbox from the day job is starting to get pretty dang filled up. So I'm going to try to get through a couple callers real quickly before we hit the 3:15 mark. Cody, just brought you on up here. Go ahead and unmute yourself. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I'm really thinking that the Pac-12 kind of shot themselves in the foot with the whole alliance and then agreeing with like the ACC and the Big Ten to not move forward with the expansion because it seems that they were kind of the big players along with those two other conferences to prevent playoff expansion. I was just kind of curious about what your thoughts on if they would have, do you think that this would still be happening as well as I'm a Cincinnati fan, so I'm looking forward to Cincinnati heading into the Big Ten or Big 12 and hoping that the Big 12 doesn't suddenly fall apart. Do you think that there are any Pac-12 teams that would be a good fit for the Big 12?
I think first and foremost, you got to look at the team that was in the Big 12 previously. I think Colorado would definitely be willing to look back and go back to a bunch of classic rivalries from their Big 8 days, being able to play teams like Kansas and Kansas State. You got Iowa State in that same particular brand. You'd be able to recruit Texas again, which I think would be a huge boon for Colorado football. But I think that would absolutely be an opportunity for them to go back. I know that the Arizona schools paired up. We've mentioned before they played in the Border Conference for a long time against teams like Texas Tech, and I think they would be a good geographic fit as well as a cultural fit. Utah, of all teams, I think would be absolutely game for playing TCU again on a regular basis. So if we're looking at all those opportunities, I think those are some teams that the Big 12 can definitely snatch up. Obviously, the challenge there is going to be, you know, do you have enough money to justify West Virginia flying out to Phoenix and out to Salt Lake City and out to Boulder on an annual basis? I'm not 100% sure if that's going to work out full time. But if I'm going to be looking at a couple teams that as a Big 12 fan, I would pick up, I would love to see some of those opportunities. Now, of course, you're going to see a bunch of other opportunities of the Pac-12 doing just the opposite and trying to snatch up from the Big 12. But right now, this has to be an absolute madhouse right now for people trying to scramble.
You know, was it, and JD, maybe you can remember this because you obviously have a very strong knowledge of TCU football. Wasn't it Utah and TCU that landed a game day, and that was like at the time just a major coup?
Yes, actually landed multiple major game days over the course of the late 2000s and early 2010s. So TCU's all-time biggest attendance record is 58,000, and that was on game day in 2009, the first time game day had ever come to Fort Worth. Now, the second time that they did it was actually a top five matchup in 2010. Number five TCU playing number three Utah, both undefeated at the time, playing in Salt Lake City. Game day came to that game, and then TCU beat them. I believe it was 47-7 in front of that national audience, one of the biggest crowds in Utah history. But there is a lot of similarities between Utah and TCU, who both did the rise from the Mountain West. There was a lot of fantastic games. The 2008 game was a huge game between the two of them that helped get Utah into a BCS game. 2004 had a couple of games as well in that era. Really, really big matchup between the two schools. I think that is definitely something where, you know, if you can't keep the Pac-12 as is, Utah would absolutely love to play TCU, and I know TCU would with Utah as well. All right, Cody, thank you so much for being on here. Like I said, we're going to go about 10 more minutes. We're going to go ahead and get the next caller up on here, Mark. Mark, let's go ahead and get you up on here. This is RCFB Talk 41, an emergency RCFB Talk, with USC and UCLA all but now confirmed going to the Big Ten, waiting on the official announcement now. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. As you can probably tell by my shirt, I root for a team in the ACC, and I'm intrigued by the ACC's role in all of this, because obviously the SEC and Big Ten have pushed themselves ahead of the pack, and the ACC, they haven't been rated yet, but there's, you know, these things tend to come in waves. And, you know, you guys talked about earlier, the ACC wants to go on the aggressive. They've been the aggressor before. They, six of the 14 schools in the ACC were old Big East members. They've done it before. But they've also are locked in a way the SEC and Big Ten are not, because the TV rights deal doesn't expire for another 15 years. Now, granted, any contract can be broken with the right amount of billable hours, but that might not happen before the SEC and Big Ten start to solicit the top ACC schools. I mean, you know that Clemson's phone has got to be ringing off the hook, and eventually schools like Clemson have to determine whether the potential competition advantage of the ACC, or lack thereof, is worth more than the money that comes in. So I'm interested what you guys think, whether the ACC will be able to play the role of aggressor they want to play, or if, due to other circumstances, they're going to have to just watch their teams get poached.
I think one of the big deals with the ACC is they are locked into that major TV contract, which I believe still has double-digit years left on it. So they might have to pay a couple of fees to get out of that, to renegotiate. But we're going to have to see how the ACC plays that out. But like you said, Clemson's phone, FSU's phone, Miami's phone must all be ringing off the hook right now in order for another conference to try to take them. CFB Giffer, I believe this is SRS trying to come in through a different account. We're doing a nice little stress test here of 1,000-plus listeners for most of the day. We've gone on a couple hours now, so we're going to see if he's come on. SRS, are you here?
I hope so.
Yeah, there you are. There you are. So go ahead. We're talking about ACC and their possibility of being a poacher instead of a poachee.
You know, I kind of think it'd be interesting to see what happens when Notre Dame is a partial ACC member. And I know a previous caller was talking about the idea of in the future seeing more more teams kind of coalescing down into a smaller number, because you're kicking off some of the dead weight, so to say. But I think it's really interesting to think about this when you have Notre Dame, who is probably the team that is most primed to benefit from that, and they haven't yet. You know, they've got their special deal with NBC, but that's only for football home games, and they haven't tried to you know, spin out anything that's kind of like a streaming service or anything like that. In fact, you know, they're partnered with the ACC in terms of scheduling for all their non-revenue things. And then on the other side, we just saw Texas, who had their own channel, the Longhorn Network, and they've decided, you know what, scrap it. We're okay with letting it die. We're going to go and we're going to take on that extra SEC check, get a bigger payout from that, and we're okay with losing those, you know, third-tier access rights and the income from that, because we're going to get a bigger paycheck by partnering with a conference, even if it does have a Vanderbilt or a Mississippi State or Mizzou or whoever in there. And I think that really the key there is that what you learned with the Longhorn Network is that you can kind of piece together content by going directly to one school or the other, but it's really, really easy to just go to a conference and say, we want 12, we want 14, 16 teams worth of content. And suddenly you have enough to fill up an entire channel's schedule for an entire week at a time, because that's really what's going to drive the content, being able to have something that gets viewers to tune in. We see it with, like, just look at Netflix or Hulu or whatever. You need some marquee stuff to get people to make the switch or to stay subscribed, but then you also just need filler content for the rest of the week, where if somebody's going to, you know, at 3 a.m., I want to watch something that's not Friends or Seinfeld or The Office, and they pop on, you know, some random show. You need that variety in there, which, you know, that's where those lower tier schools in terms of fan bases, they really have a lot to offer, because they can say, look, everybody wants to see, you know, Florida versus Georgia, Alabama versus Auburn, LSU versus Bama, whatever, but there are only so many of those games a year. You need some, you know, Alabama Vanderbilt maulings in there in order to help fill up some of that space.
Thank you, Mark, for coming on. Appreciate you. We have about 5 minutes left to go, so we're going to try to speed run through one or two more callers here before we go ahead and call it up and call it a day. RCP Talk 4-1, USC and UCLA, all but apparently going into the Big Ten. We are taking your calls and talking about it. Nate, you are the next one on my queue. Thank you so much for waiting. What is on your mind?
Hey, I had 2 points. One being like the academic like profile that the Pac-12 has. A lot of their institutions are tier one research schools in the U.S. So adding a team like Boise State or San Diego State, like, I think they're going to have to make a decision on if they want to prioritize athletics versus academics. And then second, what kind of disadvantage is having to fly out 5 times a year to go play in like Wisconsin or Minnesota? I feel like through the course of the season, that might kind of catch up to them. And the Big Ten in general is pretty close in proximity to each other. So, you know, having to fly in November, December to go play a road game in Wisconsin or Minnesota or Illinois, like through the course of the season, how do you think that affects the players? Thanks.
I think to your first point about the academics, one of the huge things is UCLA and USC are both AAU research schools. They are both in that very prestigious accolade of academics. So I think that's going to be one of the reasons that they're going to have that cultural fit. And I think if the Big Ten wants to continue with that route, they'll probably look for another AAU member. I know that was a very big drive in the last round of realignment. Not everybody in the Big Ten is still an AAU school, but I know that that has typically been a requirement in the past for the Big Ten. We know that USC and UCLA meets that. They both have solid academics. And I think in terms of that, I think that's still like a good enough checkout for the Big Ten. Now, as far as travel, you know, it doesn't seem like that long ago that we were giving Stanford benefit of the doubt when they were playing Northwestern. And they said, you know, they were having body clock issues, so they couldn't necessarily knock Stanford down for having a difficult game against Northwestern. But I think there's going to be a couple of issues like that coming over the course of the season. Obviously, you know, it's going to be a huge weather change to go from Southern California in November to Camp Randall in November. And that's going to be a huge change. I'm not 100% sure how that's going to play out just yet, but I'm going to be fascinated to watch that play out. SRS, I know that you had a couple of thoughts. I'll let you go ahead and take it on.
Yeah, I think that obviously the Pac-12 is going to have their preferences when it comes to trying to find schools to fill in the gaps that match their expectations for the member institutions they currently have. But at the end of the day, you're kind of limited beyond, you know, because of geography and the options that are available because of the most recent rounds of realignment. At a certain point, they're going to have to take what they can take. And you have to be realistic about that. Just like the Big Ten likes to tout the academic angle, if you actually talk to a lot of researchers, they're like, oh yeah, we already have these kind of agreements with schools. Like, athletic conference doesn't really help that much more, even with their consortium. And if the right team presented itself, like if USC and UCLA weren't AAU members, would the Big Ten still take them? Definitely, if they had the option, if the numbers and everything worked out right. They're not going to turn it down just because they don't have, like, you know, the little gold star on their certificate saying that they're, you know, adequately academic. Because at the end of the day, revenue is what's going to be driving this. And it's just like they didn't kick Nebraska out after they lost AAU, in part because Big Ten members made a vote that impacted their status. Beyond that, you know, I would say that they're going to have to take, you know, some of these schools that fit. And then what was the second half of the question there?
I was just like traveling and like through the course of the season. Right. Like,
Yep. You know, people talk a lot about the weather and aspects. The travel definitely, that can play a big role, but the Pac-12 was already pretty spread out. It was over a couple of time zones, but there was still a lot of travel. There were some really weird Pac-12 scheduling things that happened. You know, I remember USC having that night game on a Friday at Wazoo after having a big game on Saturday the week before, where the Pac-12, you know, kind of shafted their own teams and their own chances at a contender by just giving them really bad matchups. So I'm sure that there's no love lost in terms of the administration at those teams for having to kind of go through those shenanigans. But in terms of the weather aspect, you know, we had John Cunningham from Cincinnati on earlier today before all of this broke. And one of the things he talked about getting ready for Big 12 play was they're putting in a permanent indoor practice field, really making a nice facility primarily for the football team. And all of the Big 10 schools use these. Like, even, you know, Michigan or Wisconsin or whoever, pretty much all of the Big 10 schools use those. Their guys aren't out there practicing in the snow on a random Tuesday. They're practicing in indoor facilities, and then they just go and play on Saturday and whatever the conditions are. So I think sometimes the weather angle gets a little bit overhyped. Obviously, if you get like a Mac Jones, it's, you know, this is the first time I saw snow. That's a little different, but, you know, he did pretty good for New England in the playoffs, despite not having a whole lot of cold weather experience.
Coming in here really quickly with some breaking news. We are at the 3:15 hour, and I know that I will need to be logging off here in just a second. Babak and SRS will carry all out for the very last seconds that we've got on here. But John Wilner just recently posting, and I quote, "Source, don't assume the Big Ten is done." So even though we are wrapping up on this space with USC and UCLA, we may have to do another emergency space later talking about additional teams going to the Big Ten per the latest from John Wilner.
I'm hoping it's Manchester United. I'm hoping it's just something way out of left field. But, but you know, and thanks for your patience. I just finally parked. I had to go and drive and pick up my kids from summer camp, right? Garrett, you've been patient. We'd love to hear from you.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Sure can.
All right, sweet. So, yeah, I'm a Duck alum, and I currently work at UCLA within the event side. So today's news was a little surprising, to say the least, considering we've had budgetary concerns. But I think we've addressed that with the TV deals And a lot of these non-revenue sports, at least in the Pac-12, already travel together. So, like, when UCLA volleyball goes to Arizona, they play Arizona on a Friday and then swing by and play Arizona State on a Sunday, and then they're back. So I think that helps with some of the costs. But my whole thing is, as we progress to some of these super conferences, and I've always thought this, especially the last 5 years, is the NCAA on the way out with their ruling and everything?
I think that's certainly going to be a big question here, because there's constantly been this push. I mean, before we saw a lot of these changes, we've always heard the fact that there might be what they would call or refer to as a Division IV for the super elite sort of P5 programs just deciding to go off on their own. And to an extent, the NIL situation and that question that's been continuing on, because we are a bit of a Wild West when it comes to NIL deals, are we going to see that lead to sort of a breakup where some programs just need to operate in an even freer situation with those because of that genie is now well out of the bottle and will probably never be put back in? So I think that's an interesting question on whether or not the NCAA is even going to be relevant. And will there be a point where these programs just decide, you know, thanks, it was great while it lasted, but we're out? And certainly, I don't think it would be the death of the NCAA. It would certainly change it a bit. I mean, people forget that there's over 1,000 schools in the NCAA at the multiple levels. You know, some D1 programs don't play football. Some are obviously Division II, Division III. So they'll certainly need to be there for, I think, those programs. But it would be interesting to see if those really big money programs then use this as also a reason to, if we're just hastening that move to a new sort of association to manage them. What do you think, Sirius?
Yeah, I mean, we'd already heard talk from actually some commissioners, right? And so, and some ADs about the idea of, you know, breaking off, letting football, since it's the big revenue driver, manage itself and step away from the NCAA, that the NCAA's time has ended for FBS football, or at least for P5 football. Those ideas have been kind of kicking around for a while, but it seems like they're definitely gaining traction. These moves that we're seeing right now, I think, are interesting because of the implications they have for all of the non-revenue sports plus basketball, in terms of what that would entail, because I don't think anybody's ready to say, you know, we don't need the NCAA for, you know, golf or tennis. That there's still a role there if they can get some other things straightened out. But really, the NCAA's kind of brought this on themselves because they've had a history of poor management when it comes to some really important decisions. And just kind of saying, you know, we're going to institute these policies that don't necessarily make any sense, or we're not going to keep up with the times, or we're going to lose court case after court case after court case and waste a lot of money litigating them just to lose. And instead of actually instituting some kind of a, you know, process or something that makes sense as a result, we're just going to sit back and say, we'll let Congress handle it or the states or whatever. They've essentially taken themselves out of the driver's seat on this. So I think it's kind of a inevitable conclusion eventually that they're going to say, why are we giving you a share of our money when you're not actually doing anything for us outside of, you know, these other sports where it's kind of convenient to be able to have everybody under, you know, one rule set. The real question, I think, is going forward, when football becomes, FBS football at least, becomes independent of the NCAA, does that lead to something else that is then going to pull over all the other sports as well?
Certainly. And I just wanted to add, I do wonder if we'll see, I think Oregon and Washington fans are certainly wondering if they're going to be part of the deal, especially now that we heard that the sources are saying that Big Ten football part isn't done, the Big Ten conference isn't done expanding. Well,
We thank all of you for joining us. We've kept this going as long as we can for a sudden midday emergency Twitter space. But we wanted to thank all of you on behalf of JD and Sirius and me. This conversation is hardly over. We know it's going to be something we're all going to be talking about for the near future. So thanks all of you for joining us. And this is RCFB Talk 41 signing off. We typically do these on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. Take care.